Greet you all this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. Who else will we be greeted by except Jesus? It's by him and through him that we have this morning the confidence not only to speak but also to gather together. I think it shows confidence and I appreciate the devotions and but I believe confidence this morning, my feeling of any confidence is not of myself, but it's through Christ and through the prayers of the church, the prayers of the people that bring us confidence, even though I still seem to lack some confidence, but trust that you continue praying for us. A few weeks ago, I woke up one morning and the word individualism came to my mind, and I worked my way through some of this through the last couple weeks thinking about what the word individualism means and what it means to us, and I finally come up with a title for a message called Unified Individualism. I mean, it sounds really contrary, but I trust that somehow I can just convey my thoughts somehow to what unified individualism really means, or what is individualism, and how can we be unified in us as individuals? Because God's calling us to unity. He's also calling us to an individualism. In Deuteronomy 14:2, it says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord God, and the Lord God hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all nations that are upon the earth." In other words, God's calling us to be noticeably different from the rest of the people on the earth. He's calling his people to be a different people, a peculiar people. Paul says to be in this world, but not of this world. As individuals, yet we're to be yet as individuals, but yet we are to be part of a much bigger picture. Part of the body of Christ. I'd like to start by looking at some things in Joshua. There's a portion of scripture here in Joshua chapter 14. And this message is for me, I would say, as an individual. However, it's for us as a unified body. Joshua chapter 14, I want to read from verses 6 to 14 and then make a couple comments. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Joshua came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jehonah the Kenzite said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, Lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong as the day as I went, as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Therefore, the Lord spake. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jehonah Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jehonah the Kenzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord. A couple thoughts here. We're in verse 6, it says that and of course, earlier in Joshua, it says about how Joshua was called to serve in the place of Moses. And Caleb comes here in verse 6. Caleb come unto Joshua and he said, you know, I was promised this. I was promised this by Moses, this land wherein we walked. Caleb and his 10 spies went into the land, and they brought back a report. They brought back, and each individual brought back his report. And because Caleb, as an individual, decided to bring a report, a true report, a report unto God. In verse 8 it says, because he wholly followed the Lord God. He brought back a report, a good report. When eight of the rest brought back an evil report. So because Caleb brought back a good report of the land, he was personally blessed. He was personally blessed. He was given Hebron, it says here later on. He says, now give me this mountain wherein the Lord spake unto me in this day. And Joshua gave unto Caleb the mountain, or all of Hebron. And we see a couple things I'd like to bring out yet here before we move on to some other thoughts. Is that in verse 8, the results that he was personally blessed was because it says in verse 8, he said, I personally followed the Lord my God. In verse 9 it says, because he wholly followed the Lord his God. And in verse 14, he was blessed with the land of Hebron because he, again it says, because he wholly followed the Lord his God. Even though eight of the rest brought up an evil report, Caleb personally brought up a positive report of what he'd found. He was there as an individual. Even though Caleb was a part of the 10 spies that spied out the land, he brought individually, on his own accord, he brought forth a good report, and he was blessed because of what he did. Of course, all of Israel traveled the next 40 years in the desert. But because of Caleb's willingness to travel with that group, he traveled, he brought up a good report, and he could have demanded, Moses promised him a reward right there. But he traveled for 40 years in the wilderness with the rest of the people. And he says here, after 45 years, I'm asking for my reward for what I've personally done. But he was willing to travel for 40 years in the desert with the children of Israel to spend time. He saw all those people died in the wilderness. Then those 40 years of turmoil and strife in the wilderness, he was willing to travel with them, to abide with them. But he'd been promised a reward for his personal testimony that the Lord was good. And I don't like to produce or study a message till I don't like to look at my Sunday school book until I've made a message or prepared a message for Sunday. So I was somewhat shocked how closely the Sunday school lesson and the what I was thinking about corresponded. But Caleb was willing. The point I want to make here is Caleb was willing as an individual to spend 40 years in the desert with his brethren and then receive his reward. Now let's talk a little bit about individualism. And then I want to go to 1 Corinthians, and you can turn your Bibles to that a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for the rest of the message then. But I'd like to speak a little bit about what individualism is, what individualism has done for us. If we, I believe individualism, there's been a statement years I've heard in the past, and that is that the winds of the world, they move the curtains in the church. And I think we can document that there's a lot of fact to that, that what's happening in the world tends to have an effect on what's happening in the church. And I want to look at individualism in what I've seen and experienced in individualism over the last 50 years. We know that the United States was formed in 1976. And the Constitution of the United States declares that we have freedoms. We're individuals. As individuals, we have freedoms. We have rights. We have the right to freedom of religion. We have the right to freedom of speech. We have the right to petition our government on behalf of ourselves. We have the right to peaceable assembly. We have the right to self-defense. We have the right to bear arms. We have the right to personal protection from our government. And we have the right to fair trial. And we talked about some of that in Sunday school this morning. And some of those things are good. But how do these ideas affect my life as an individual? How do they affect my walk with Christ when I stand up for my own freedom, my own? There was mention in Sunday school this morning about divorce. I can remember back 50 years ago when the divorce rate was very, very, very small. Very few people. I can remember when we had people in our community that were divorced and we were appalled. Yet today, you know, on a daily basis we meet people that are divorced, and we can just see how the thought of my individualism, my right to personal expression, I believe is the heart of what has created divorce rate to go from very low to an appalling rate in a matter of 50 years. In 1960, the Beatles came into America. Of course, this is before most of you remember, the Beatles came into America, and they promoted the idea of we can do what we want. We can play our rock music. The idea of personal expression, as long as I don't do any harm to you. I have a right to my person. That was the heart of their theme was, I have a right to my personal expression as long as I'm not harming you. We can play what we want. We can wear the clothes we want. We can wear our hair as long as we want. And to the American people, it was a new idea. Nine years later, and I struggle whether I was going to even mention this, but 9 years later, I was 13 years old, 9 years after the Beatles introduced the hippie movement to where we can express ourselves, we can do what we want. There was a dairy farm in another New York state, and they sent out invitations, and they set up a stage, and they brought in advertised. They were having a peace rally, I think they called it. And they brought in rock bands for entertainment. And their tickets said, you bought their tickets for a one-day affair. Come to our farm. It's private. You can do what you want as long as you do no harm. It's a peaceful. And the bottom of the ticket said, clothing optional. This is the kind of thing we're going to have. They were expecting 20,000 people to show up for this concert, this peace rally. And they ended up having 400,000 people showed up. They stayed for 3 days. There was rain, there was mud, there was filth, there was immorality, there was death, drugs and alcohol. All in the name of individuality. I can do what I want as long as I don't do any harm to you. I believe today we can look around us and we can see what this attitude has brought to us, what this attitude has produced for us. Just look at the clothing. Look at the tattoos. I believe today tattoos is another expression of this individuality where I can express myself the way I want to be expressed myself. As long as I don't do any harm to you, I can express myself the way I want. Beloved, this individuality has become in our society an obsession. Well, we are obsessed with the idea that we can do what we want. And beloved, I fear it's crept into our churches. We have the rights. We have individual rights within the body of Christ, but only in the body of Christ. Our individualism, our individual rights need to magnify and exalt the body of Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think I'm just going to read this whole chapter. Probably the scripture itself can speak much more than I can. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God called No man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. For the foot shall say, if the foot shall say, because I am not the head, the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him. And if they were all members, if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And these members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these are bestowed more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. That there shall be no schism in the body, but that the members shall have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, the members of and members in particular, and God has set some in this church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? I believe Apostle Paul is writing here, trying to show us even though we're all individuals, we all have our own talents, we all have our own abilities, we all have what the Lord has given us, yet it's for the unity and the bond of one body for himself. In verse 1 and 2, he's saying, I want you to know we were all Gentiles. You were all outside. We were all outside the grace of God. In verse 3, he's saying, well, you know, we cannot, if we confess the Lord Jesus Christ, his Spirit will change our lives into a unified body for himself. Although we were all Greeks and Gentiles, through the new birth of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, he's calling us in verse 3 here to be unified in the Holy Ghost. Verse 7, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The Spirit. We were all given an individual ability. Not for our own benefit, but to benefit our neighbor, to benefit our brother. My abilities aren't for my benefit, but they're for yours, to help you along in life, for to bring us all into a spiritual unity. Because as long as I'm holding on to my gifts that I have, I'm an individual. And individualism rails up in my life. But when I lay my agenda, my abilities, my things down for the unity of the body, then we can dwell together in the Spirit of Christ. For us to be a unified body, we need to lay me aside and promote Christ. Verse 8 through 11, he's saying here that the Spirit gives many different gifts. Some prophecies, some discerning of spirits, some tongues, some that can interpret tongues. Some people that can do within the body things that I can't even begin to anticipate, imagine being able to do. But what we're to learn from this is that we need each other. Verse 14, he says, for the body is not one member, but many. If we could, I trust if we were bodies able of ourselves, then God would have made us individuals. And he would have made us that we have all the gifts. But so God made us with different gifts so that we can learn to help each other along. Let's look at verse 26. It says here in verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. As I looked at that this morning, I thought about that. I thought about what Brother Michael said about Johnny Weaver there in prayer meeting, or maybe it was last night, or Friday night when we were together, said about the amputated both his legs, and he's getting pain surges through his body from the legs that are missing. Pain tearing through his body from parts that have been amputated through the nerves. But Paul's calling us here to that same kind of feeling for my brother. He's saying, whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Do I have that kind of feeling for my brother? Because when I know my brother's struggling, when I know my brother's in pain, and I'm sure that's a difficult setting where he's feeling pain from parts of his body that are gone. Or one member honored, all members rejoice with it. Do we have that kind of unity, some that kind of feeling for each other? Verse 28 through 29 and 30. He's saying here, Paul's saying here, God has set the members, some in the church, first apostles, some prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, diversities, tongues. And then he's questioning in verse 29, are y'all apostles? Do you all have the same gifts? No. Are you all teachers? No. But if my brother's a teacher, can I support him? If my brother can speak in tongues and I can interpret, do I interpret for him? But I guess one of the dearest verses to me is in verse 31. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. So we are earnestly contend or covet these gifts that are distributed and given. But he says, what? He says, yet I show you a more excellent way. Yet I show you unto you a more excellent way. And I'm going to look at the next three verses in chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm come as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So if we have all these gifts, all these gifts that we have within the body, all these great abilities to speak, great abilities, apostles, all the things we were talking about, all these gifts that are within the body. If we have them as individuals, and we're caught up in individualism, and we have this gift that God has given to us, and we hold it dear to ourselves for our own benefit, for our own exaltation, we use our gifts, our individual gifts, to shine out as better than my brother, we've missed the final part. And the final part is I need to love my brother. And a unified body for Christ. Verse 2 says, in gifts of prophecy, gifts of understanding, gifts of mystery, gifts of intelligence, gifts of faith, gifts of meditation. I thought about the Buddhists where they meditate themselves. They claim to be able to meditate themselves into another world. Verse 3 says, give everything I have for the poor. Sure, it's good to give everything we have to the poor. But if I give everything that I have to the poor as an individual to exalt and honor and glorify myself, it's not for the body of Christ. Give everything that I am. But if it's not for the love of the body, it availeth nothing. I believe we love. Love is a choice. Let's not forget that. Love is a choice. Love isn't something that happens to us. We love God because He first loved us. We love God because He sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins. We love God because He sent the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But we do not love by accident. We choose to love. It doesn't happen to us. And I believe if we choose to love the brotherhood, our individualism that is right here in our heart, our own treasures, our own gifts that God has given us, they can shine out on behalf of our brotherhood. But we must choose to love the brotherhood so that our individualism will shine out and be exalted when we love the brotherhood as a unified body. Let's turn back a couple pages here to Romans. One verse yet. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Choose to love each other. And He's calling us here to sacrifice our own individualism on behalf of the body of Christ, on behalf of the church. Let's pray.